بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
حديث number 362, and as you know, we're still studying this chapter that deals with the oaths and the vows. And this hadith was narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him. Who would read that for us? Okay, the brother there.
Narrated Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever makes a false oath, that would be jailed for if found out that he was lying. To take a portion of a Muslim's wealth will meet Allah, who will be angry with him. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the verse, verily, those who purchase a small gain at the cost of Allah's covenant and their oaths, they shall have no portion in the hereafter. Neither will Allah speak to them nor look at them.
Okay, this hadith Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, he is highlighting one of the major sins that can be practiced or performed by giving a false oath, by swearing by Allah Azza wa Jal. What is the intention? To take someone's money. And the Arabic word is the oath that is sabr, the oath that a person would stick to even if they would put him into jail. Sometimes you are requested to make an oath, and when someone pressures you and you say, no, no, I was lying. This happens. But this part or this kind of oath is the kind that the person is so sinful, is a big liar to the extent that even if they throw him in jail, he would not go back on what he had said, on his lie. So the Prophet is telling us, alayhi salam, that there are people like this who would go to such extreme in order to take people's money. And those who do such a thing will face Allah on the Day of Judgment, while Allah would be angry with them. And Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the ayah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَشْتَرُونَ بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ وَأَيْمَانِهِمْ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. Allah Azza wa Jal says, verily those who purchase a small gain, what good is it to you? No matter how billions and trillions, it is still considered to be small gain compared to the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. Those who purchase a small gain at the cost of Allah Azza wa Jal, covenant and their oaths, they shall have no portion in the hereafter, neither will Allah speak to them nor look at them, and they would be suffering the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this shows us that the issue of swearing by Allah Azza wa Jal, maybe it helps you to escape an embarrassment, maybe it helps you escape punishment, maybe it helps you gain more money and wealth. All of this would not help you on the Day of Judgment. So many times, did you break the pen? Wallahi, I didn't break it. And you broke it. Why did you swear? So that I wouldn't be punished. So that I would not be embarrassed in front of the class. So that I would maybe not pay the money of that I broke. I'm saving money. All of this would be severely punished by Allah Azza wa Jal on the Day of Judgment. And this is one of the characteristics of the Jews, by the way. They lie and they swear and they consume people's money. Now, the hadith stated that whoever swears such a sinful oath so that he would take the money of a Muslim, does this mean that we are entitled to swear so that we can take the money of non-Muslims? Is this understood from this hadith? No. It is not permissible for a Muslim to take the money of anyone without their consent, Muslims or non-Muslims, because they have a pledge between us and them. That's why they come to our country, we go to their country, and we have to respect the laws of their country when we're there, and they have to respect our laws when they are in our country, and nothing entitles us to go and take their possessions and what they have forcefully without their consent. The following hadith, hadith number 363, which was narrated by Al-Ash'ath ibn Qais. Who would read that to us?
Narrated Al-Ash'ath ibn Qais said, I had a dispute over a well with another man. We took it up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, either your two witnesses or his oath. I said, then he, my opponent, will take the oath. Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever makes a false oath that he would be jailed for it or found out that he was lying to take a portion of a Muslim's wealth while he's lying, he'll meet Allah who will be angry with him.
Okay, this hadith is exactly like the first hadith, that whoever makes an oath so that he would take someone's money. But this came with an example that two of the companions disputed on a well, each one claiming to be in his property. So it's not the well that they are caring for, it is the property of the land, which one is mine and which one is yours. So they went to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who was the judge, who was the ruler, who was the imam, so that he would resolve this dispute. And this is the norm in any dispute. If you have a fight with your wife and each one says that this is mine, you have to go to someone, an arbitrator, to judge between you. If you have a dispute with your neighbor, the same. If you have a dispute with someone you buy and sell from, the same. There has to be someone who is objective to rule, because both of them think and believe 100% that it is his rights. No one would usually say, no, yeah, I think you're right. Everyone is holding to his rights, claiming to be the truthful owner of this or that. That is why we need to have someone to judge. So they went to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And as stated before, in any claim, in any case, the one who is claiming, the one who is accusing, he has to provide what? Evidence. And what is the evidence? Either two witnesses or a written document consent from the other opponent. Now, if I claim that this car is mine, prove it, show us the registration, show us the invoice of purchasing it, bring two witnesses that testify that it is yours. I can't. Your opponent has the keys, for example. So I claim that he took the keys from me. So now, if I don't have evidences, what would my opponent be forced to do? He's forced to swear by Allah. And this is why the hadith is here. Oath. When do we refer to swearing? In terms or in cases when someone is defending himself against an accusation that has no proof to it. So in this case, he has to swear. If he refuses, if he says, no, I'm not going to swear. The car is mine, but I'm not going to swear. The judge automatically says that because you do not swear, this means that the car is his. And if he swears, then he is gone. So the companion said, Al-Ash'ath, may Allah be pleased with him, said of Prophet of Allah, if he were to swear, then he doesn't care. I'll swear 10 times, but I'll gain money. And then the Prophet highlighted the fact, alayhi salatu wasalam, that if he dared to do such a thing, then he will meet Allah Azza wa Jal with Allah the Almighty, angry with him because he took what was not his and this was something unlawful for him. The following hadith is hadith number 364. Who would read that for us? The brother there.
Narrated Thabit bin Dahak, that he gave the pledge of allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam under the tree, and that he said, whoever swears by a religion other than Islam while lying and intentionally, then he is as he said. And whoever commits suicide with something, he will be punished with the same thing on the day of judgment. And one has no oath in what he doesn't own. And in another narration, cursing a believer is like murdering him. And in another narration, and whoever claims a false claim to uplift himself, Allah would only reduce what he has more and more.
Okay, now part of this hadith we've gone through, which is the last part, whoever claims something that is not his falsely. And we said that people pretend to be rich and they're poor. or pretend to be from a reputable family when they're not. Pretend to be educated when they are ignorant. So this kind of pretending so that one would gain something with it and boast about it, Allah Azza wa Jal would humiliate him and he would make things less and less in his hand. We went through that. So let us go from the very beginning. Thabit ibn al-Dhahhak, may Allah be pleased with him, he gave the pledge of allegiance to the Prophet under the tree, alayhi salatu wasalam. What tree?
Tree of Rizwan.
Yes, the tree of the Rizwan. Very good. This happened in the Treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah. When Uthman ibn Affan, may Allah be pleased with him, went to Mecca to negotiate with the pagans and they kept him. Not that they arrested him, but they told him, you are coming in Ihram, so come and make Umrah. And he had good relations with his family, Uthman ibn Affan. He said, wallahi, I will not make any Umrah unless the Prophet does Umrah. When he was late in coming back, the Prophet ﷺ took the pledge of allegiance to fight till the death in a vengeance of his son-in-law and companion, Uthman. So this is the tree that the Prophet took the covenant or took the pledge of allegiance. Some of the companions gave the pledge of allegiance once, others gave the pledge of allegiance three times. Among them was the great companion Salama ibn al-Akwa', who gave the pledge of allegiance in the beginning, in the middle, and the end. The Prophet is asking, where is Salama? In the beginning. So he gave the pledge of allegiance. In the middle, where is Salama? Again, where is Salama? Because he's one of the strongest and fittest warriors of Islam. So here, Thabit, may Allah be pleased with him, when he pledged or gave the pledge of allegiance to the Prophet, he heard this hadith. What was included in this hadith? This is what we'll find after the break. So stay tuned.